الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها وقال تعالى وأنكحوا الأيام منكم والصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم إن يكونوا فقراء يغنهم الله من فضله والله واسع عليم صدق الله العظيم. Most respected ulama, elders, beloved brothers, every split moment of our life we are enjoying unlimited ni'mat and bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. These ni'mat, these bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we cannot count, we cannot enumerate. But from among the bounties and ni'mat of Allah ta'ala that we are enjoying, the greatest ni'mat and the greatest bounty is the bounty of iman. Allah ta'ala granted Mawlana Yunus Dayat Sahib rahmatullah alayhi the highest rank, that almost every bayan that he is to give, as Mawlana used to say this, that read 2 rakat of salah every day. And make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for that iman, very, very great ni'mat Allah ta'ala has bestowed us with. Mufti Taqi Uthmani sahab, down barakatum, he says that this is such a ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, that it is on the basis of iman that the Muslims throughout the world are united. Somebody is suffering a couple of thousand miles away. But here we making dua for them, we are crying for them here. And if we can help them in any way, whether it is financially or whichever way, we will try and assist them. On the basis of this iman. He says that when he went to China, Hazrat Mufti Sahib said that, I don't know the Chinese language at all. And the people that are there in China, they don't know Urdu. But he says, when I reached China, he says that people, there were two rows. People were standing in two rows. And all making musafa and welcoming me. He says, on what basis? This is all on the basis of iman. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on an occasion, he decided, he intended that they want to attack the Jews of Khaybar. So with Sahaba, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam had gone down to Khaybar. So in Khaybar, the Jews, they remain within their fort. So a couple of days passed in this way. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had a little tent in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would rest, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would be seated. So after a few days, one shepherd, he came out from the forts of Khaybar, and he came out with all his goats. So he was not very good looking, dark in complexion, an unpleasant smell was emitting from his body. But he heard of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he heard of the Sahaba. So he asked the Sahaba, that where is your king? He doesn't know what's the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. He hadn't brought iman. So he asked, where is your king? So Sahaba indicated to a tent. So he thought there must be a very fancy tent here. And there must be some red carpet in that tent also. So he went to the tent. But the tent was made of date palm tree leaves. So he asked Nabi alayhi salam permission, Ya Rasulullah, can I come in? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam permitted him. He went in, he sat before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam the question, Ya Rasulullah, that why have you come here? What is your message to us? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned, to believe in one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam is the final Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just that one nazar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that gaze of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam that fell onto the shepherd, already his heart had inclined towards iman. So he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me, Ya Rasulullah, that if I have to accept, if I have to bring iman, then what will I get in return for this? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that you will enjoy the same privileges and the same rights as every other Muslim. And not only that, but we will embrace you. Now you are a Muslim brother, you have accepted iman. So being a shepherd, someone that wasn't so good looking, dark in complexion, not a very good smell emitting from his body, he said, you're a king. And you are saying that you're going to embrace me. And I will enjoy the same rights as the other Muslims. You are making a mockery of me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah ta'ala will change that darkness into nur. And that unpleasant smell, Allah ta'ala will change into fragrance if you bring iman. So immediately he said, make me recite kalima. He recited kalima and he became a Muslim. Now that he had accepted iman, the next question he puts to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that tell me, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what do I have to do? It was not the time of salah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not instruct him to perform salah. It was not the month of Ramadan. So Nabi alayhi salam did not instruct him to fast. He was a poor person, so zakat was not obligatory on him. And at that stage, Hajj was not made obligatory upon the Ummah. So there was no Hajj at that time as well. So Rasulullah ﷺ told him, look, at this time, a very great ibadat is taking place. And if you wish, you may participate in this ibadat. And that was of jihad. So then he poses a question to Rasulullah ﷺ. He says, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, that in jihad there are two scenarios. The one scenario is that we are victorious, we attain the spoils of war. And the other scenario is a person is martyred on the battlefield. If I am martyred on the battlefield, then what do I get in return for this? So Rasulullah ﷺ said, Allah Ta'ala will grant you Jannat. Allah Ta'ala will change the darkness on your face into Noor. And Allah Ta'ala will grant you fragrance from His side. So immediately he got ready, he said, Ya Rasulullah, that I want to participate in jihad. Now this is a time of war. This is a time where there's Muslims on one side, there's Jews on the other side. And in war to deceive is permissible also. But what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell him? He says that you came with these goats. These goats don't belong to you. These goats belong to the master. Take these goats and go return them to the master. And after returning them to your master, now you may come and participate in jihad. It is mentioned the shepherd, he goes, he returns the amanat that he had. He comes back. He participates in jihad. And he is martyred on the battlefield. So it was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that after the battle, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would take a walk on the battlefield and witness which sahaba have been martyred. So he notices that there are a group of sahaba that are standing in one particular area around this person. And they're having some discussion. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes there. They say, Ya Rasulullah, this man, we've never seen him before. We've never seen this man before. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that the iman of this person is amazing. Amazing is the iman of this person. He hasn't performed one salah. He hasn't kept one fast. In our terms, he hasn't given one ren in charity. But I see him already enjoying in Jannat, and he's been given ghusl with the waters of musk and amber. We don't understand the value of iman. Do we even make shukr? Ask ourselves. Do we even make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that, Allah, you gave me iman. Every morning when we wake up in the morning, Allah, you have given me iman. I'm in a masjid, I'm reading my Fajr Salah. Do we even make shukr to Allah Ta'ala? Being in the ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, such a great ni'mat, such an honor. Do we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for this ni'mat? Even here, whilst we are sitting here in our hearts, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Allah, you gave me iman. There are so many people, thousands that are deprived. There are thousands out there that are losing the iman on a daily basis. Mufti Mahmuta wa rahmatul alayh has written an incident of a person in the previous ummah of perhaps Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he wanted to be part of this ummah. He wanted to see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he's informed, you cannot see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You cannot be part of this ummah until your form is changed into another creation. He was prepared for that. He was prepared for that. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrah from Makkah Sharif, and he's now going to Medina Munawwara with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and they stop at the cave of Thawr, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Ya Rasulullah, wait outside. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam waits. He goes in, he cleans the cave. He had two pieces of cloth. He tears up one piece. And he covers all the little holes that were in that cave. Some snake mustn't come out. Some scorpion mustn't come out. But he didn't have enough cloth. And one hole remained open. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala called Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam inside. And he put his foot in that particular hole. And he told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now put your Mubarak here in my lap and now you may rest. So while his leg was in that hole, one scorpion or snake came out and bit the foot of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. But he didn't want to disturb the sleep of Nabi alayhi salam. He had intense love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So the tears start dropping from the eyes of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. This now disturbed Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam got up. What's wrong, O Abu Bakr? Ya Rasulullah, this is what has happened. Nabi alayhi salam takes his Mubarak saliva, puts it on that particular area, and immediately he is cured. This snake or scorpion that came out, this was that human being that wanted to be in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salam, wanted to see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala had transformed him. So he was waiting here so many years that this is the cave Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going to stop at. When he's making his way to Medina to Munawwara, when the time came, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala blocked this particular snake or this scorpion from coming out. So he bit the foot of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. This is the value of this ummah. Innal jannata hurrimat ala al-anbiya'i kullihim hatta adkhulaha. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that jannat has been made haram upon all the anbiya alayhi salam until I will enter into jannat. وَحُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأُمَمِ حَتَّى تَدْخُلَهَا أُمَّتِي. And Jannat has been made haram upon all the previous ummat until my ummat will enter into Jannat. One poet, he beautifully he says, كُيُّ لَفَعِيَ تَرِي أُمَّتْ خَيْرِ أُمَّتْ كِيَ لَقَبْ يَبْتُوهِ خَيْرُ الْبَشَرِ خَيْرُ الرُّسُلِ خَيْرُ الْأُمَمِ. That why shouldn't this ummat get the title of خَيْرُ الْأُمَّتْ? When you are the best of men, the best of mankind, the best of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the best of the makhluk of Allah ta'ala. So the ni'mat of Allah ta'ala on us are unlimited. We cannot enumerate these ni'mat of Allah. We cannot make enough shukr for the ni'mat and the bounties of Allah. Even one ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, we cannot make sufficient shukr for. The Anbiya alayhi salam, Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa alayhi salam, even they realize that to make shukr of the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala is not possible. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, اِعْمَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا. O the family of Dawood, be grateful to Allah, make shukr for the ni'mat of Allah through your a'mal. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned that ya Allah Ta'ala didn't say, اُشْكُرُوا لِي عَلَى دَاوُد. That make shukr to me verbally, O the family of Dawood. Allah Ta'ala said, اِعْمَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا. Through your a'mal, through your deeds, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for your ni'mat, for the ni'mat that I have bestowed you. Ulama have mentioned that there are three levels of shukr, three different stages of shukr. The first stage of shukr is that a person with his heart and mind has to acknowledge that the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala that I'm enjoying, it is purely and purely from Allah Ta'ala. No achievement of mine whatsoever. Person is a very good reciter of Quran Sharif, very good qari, or a very good alim, very good orator, or a very good businessman, computer, IT, whatever it might be, whether in deen or dunya, he's enjoying some great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. This is not my achievement. This is not from my side. This is purely and purely from the side of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, we only realize when the ni'mat is gone. Qadru ni'mah ba'da zawal. When the ni'mat is lost, then we realize. النعمه اذا فقدت عرفت. When a ni'mat is lost, it is now recognized. There was one buzruk in the past, So he had a problem, couldn't relieve himself. So he used to carry a bottle, wherever he used to go, he used to carry the bag. So one person, he went to visit the Buzruk. And this is a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif it comes, that if a person visits a sick person in the morning, 70,000 malaika make dua till the evening. And if he visits in the evening, 70,000 malaika make dua for him till the morning. And a place is fixed for him in Jannah, just for visiting the sick person. A place is fixed in Jannah for this person. In another hadith of Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, mentioned that when a person visits a sick person, as long as he hasn't returned home, he is out there, he went out to visit, he hasn't come back to his house, he is in the rahmat of Allah. And when he is sitting by the sick person, he has dived into the ocean of the rahmat of Allah ta'ala. One hadith of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Man aada maridan, nada munadim min as-sama, that person who visits a sick person, a caller calls out from the heavens, بِأَنْتِبْتَ وَطَابَ مَمْشَاتِ, you are pure. Your walking is also very pure. وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِرًا, and you have made your abode from Jannah. So this person also, he came to visit the Buzruk. So when he came there, he asked him that, how are you? So he said, this that I am suffering is because of my ingratitude. What we would say? We would say, but I'm reading my namaz. I am performing salah. I am fasting. I give my charity. I help so many people, so many masjid and madrasas I'm doing work for. Why this difficulty came on me? Where am I? Where have I gone wrong? What does he say? He said, this is my ingratitude. So this person said, Hazrat, most of the time you're in the obedience of Allah, you're in the ita'at of Allah Ta'ala. What ingratitude are you talking about? So he says, when Allah Ta'ala bestowed me with the bounty, that 5 times, 6 times a day, I was able to relieve myself comfortably without any problem, then I didn't recognize this as a ni'mat of Allah. When I didn't recognize this, that this is a ni'mat of Allah, I didn't make shukr. Now when this ni'mat has been taken away, now I have realized that this also is a very, very great ni'mat of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala. So I didn't make shukr, so the ni'mat was taken away. That is why when a person, he relieves himself, he is now leaving the restroom, what does he say? Ghufranak. Oh Allah, I ask your forgiveness. Oh Allah, I ask your forgiveness. A lot of explanations to this. One explanation, that those that are extremely pious, they're always in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Always remembering Allah. So it could happen, a man went to relieve himself. And there in error, the name of Allah Ta'ala came out. So he's asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. One occasion, the Shah Abdul Ghanisa Pulpuri Rahmatullahi was walking. He was going with Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And he was reciting Quran Sharif. So they came by an area where there was a dump. All full dirt, etc. So then he stopped the tilawat of Quran. And then he said, where there is impurity, where there is dirt, to make tilawat and take Allah Ta'ala's name, there is fear of kufr there. So now when you're coming out of the toilet, Allah, I seek your forgiveness. Alhamdulillahi alladhi azhaba anni al-adha. That all praises are due to Allah, that you have removed this harm. That if this harm only remained in my body, then what sicknesses could have developed? You have removed this harm. Wa'afani, meaning that which was beneficial for me, that food that was good for me, that didn't come out, that remained in the body. So look at what a computer system Allah Ta'ala has designed. That which is beneficial, Allah keeps in the body. And that which is harmful, only that comes out. So there we're making shukr to Allah Ta'ala for this great ni'mat. So this is the first stage of shukr. The second stage of shukr is that a person, he makes shukr to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala verbally. Verbally he makes shukr. And this is generally what we do. Person asks, that how's your health? Alhamdulillah, I'm enjoying very good health. How's business? Alhamdulillah, business is very good. How was your trip? You're coming from a certain country. Alhamdulillah, it was a very enjoyable trip. I had a very good trip. So verbally we make shukr to Allah ta'ala. This is the second stage of shukr. And the third stage of shukr is that a person, he makes shukr to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with his a'mal, with his actions. That he obeys Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, uses the ni'mat for the obedience of Allah and not the disobedience of Allah. Allah ta'ala has given a person the latest smartphone. So he's got the best phone on the market. He uses it for the obedience of Allah ta'ala, he makes shukr of this ni'mat. Allah has given him the latest car on the market. He uses it in the right avenues. For the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, he has made shukr of this ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. But if a person verbally, he is making shukr, Ya Allah, you have given me the best phone. Ya Allah, you have given me the best car. But that same phone he is using now for haram. That car, he's using it to the wrong places. So this is a deception. In reality, he hasn't made shukr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although verbally, he is making shukr. But in reality, it is not shukr. On one occasion, Mawlana Salim Dorasaf, down Barakatum, he was in Medina Sharif. So when they came out of the haram, he met Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib, Damat Barakatum. So after meeting, he had some students with him. They invited Hazrat Mufti Sahib for some tea or whatever, or some snacks or something. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib accepted. So at a certain time, he came to Mawlana Salim Dorat Sahib, Damat Barakatum's residence. So they asked him, they said, Hazrat, give some nasihat, give some advice. So the Mufti Sahib gave them some advice. So among the things that Hazrat Mufti Sahib mentioned, he said that being in Medina Munawwara at this time, this is a very, very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Who Allah Ta'ala chooses, Allah Ta'ala takes to Medina Sharif. This is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And he says that making shukr of this ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is by spending your time correctly here in Medina Sharif. And then Hazrat Mufti Sahib expounded on this. He said, see, the Imam Sahib of your masjid, he's a very, very good Imam Sahib. You have a lot of love for him as well. So now, whilst you're in Medina Sharif, you decide that let me go buy a shawl for the Imam Sahib, the shawl of Medina Munawwara. So you run, you go and buy the best shawl on the market for the Imam Sahib. And now you bring that shawl and you come back to your country. When you return home, the first thing you do, you go to visit Imam Sahib. Let's see what I brought for you, a shawl of Medina Munawwara. So Imam Sahib, he takes it, he puts it on his face, puts it on his head. Jazakallahu khairan. They couldn't have been a better gift than this. You brought the shawl of Medina al-Munawwara. So he thanks him for the shawl. And he praises him. Every time he sees him, he praises him. What a beautiful shawl you brought. But that shawl that you brought from Medina al-Munawwara, you want to see Imam Sahib wearing that shawl. So you're waiting Jummah time, he's going to wear it on the occasion of Jummah. But he doesn't wear it on the occasion of Jummah. Then comes the month of Ramadan. The first Jumu'ah of Ramadan, you're waiting, he's going to wear the shawl, doesn't wait on the first Jumu'ah. Second Jumu'ah, he doesn't wait. Third Jumu'ah, he doesn't wait. Ramadan is born. Now you're waiting for Eid. Maybe on the day of Eid, he's going to wear the shawl. Doesn't wear the shawl. Now you decide to go and visit Imam Sahib one day at his home. When you go to Imam Sahib's home, to your disappointment, the place where they're placing the shoes, the shawl is open there and shoes are kept on the shawl. What would we say? All the praises of Imam Sahib, Jazakallah, the shawl of Medina Munawwara, the best shawl you brought for me. Is he in reality making shukr, or is he ungrateful of this great ni'mat that you have done? Of this great favor of yours? So we'll say that this Imam Sahib hasn't made shukr. Look at what he's using the shawl for. So exactly the same way we need to understand that we need to utilize the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala in the obedience of Allah, and that is shukr for the ni'mat and the bounties of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So the Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, he went through the first level of shukr, where with his mind and heart, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam acknowledged that the bounties that I am enjoying, these are the ni'mat of Allah. The second level, verbally, وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, we have given Dawud and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam great knowledge, great ilm. And the two of them, they said, all praises are due to Allah, who has given us virtue, who gave us superiority upon all the believing servants. So verbally they made shukr. And then they came to the third stage. The third stage of shukr, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, one day he used to fast, one day he never used to fast. One day he used to fast, one day he never used to fast. Every alternate day Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam used to fast. And according to some narrations, one third of the night used to be spent in the ibadat of Allah. And according to some narrations, half the night used to spend in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. But then Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam started thinking that this ibadat of Allah Ta'ala that I'm making, this shukr that I'm making to Allah Ta'ala, I cannot express shukr to Allah Ta'ala because Allah is giving me the tawfiq of the shukr. And on this tawfiq also I have to make shukr to Allah. So he said, Ya Rab, kaifa ashkuruka wa shukri laka ni'matum minka alayhi. That Allah, how can I make your shukr? How can I be grateful to you? That the ability to make shukr to you, this is also a ni'mat from your side upon me. Allah Ta'ala says, Al-ana fad shakartani ya Dawood. Now you have made shukr to me, O Dawood. So these are the three levels of shukr. Musa alayhi salam, he once told Allah ta'ala, ya Allah, a small ni'mat. The smallest ni'mat, no ni'mat is small. The smallest ni'mat and the smallest bounty, we cannot make shukr to you. Allah ta'ala said, ya Musa, fad shakartani, now you have made shukr to me. It is mentioned in the riwayat of Hakim, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once came to the Sahaba. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told the Sahaba that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam just came to me. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed me of an incident that there was a person in the past. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him a place in the midst of the ocean on a mountain. This was an island in the midst of the ocean. So he lived on this mountain. Around him was salty water. So Allah ta'ala caused a spring of fresh water to gush out for him. There was no food on that island, so Allah Ta'ala gave him a pomegranate tree. So he used to drink the fresh water, eat the pomegranate, and he made ibadah of Allah Ta'ala for 500 years. 500 years he made the ibadah of Allah. When he came close to death, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah grant me death in sajda, and keep my body intact. So Allah Ta'ala accepted that dua also. Allah Ta'ala gave him death in sajda, and his body also remained intact. He was such a pious person, when the malaika used to come from the heaven, they used to pass by this person, and then they used to go and fulfill their work. And when they used to return to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, first they would come past this person, and then they would go to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it mentioned the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will tell the malaika, أَدْخِلُوا عَبْدِ الْجَنَّةَ بِرَحْمَتِي, that this servant of mine entered into Jannah because of my rahmat. So this person, he will say, oh Allah, because of my a'mal. Because of my a'mal, because of the good deeds that I have carried out. We should always ask Allah Ta'ala for His fazl, for His kindness. Never ask for adl, we don't want justice. There was one person, he was an innocent person. The police caught him, they picked him up and they imprisoned him. So he said that I'm innocent. I haven't done anything. And the police, they got no witnesses also. So I'll be out of prison very soon. So when the matter went to court, the judge gave the verdict, he must be sentenced to death. So now he realized that there is a problem. So he started making dua to Allah Ta'ala. He said, Allah, you inform me. Allah, you inform me, what's the problem? Where have I gone wrong? You know I'm an innocent person. Haji Farooq Sahab rahmatullahi mentioned this. Allah Ta'ala said, don't you remember when you used to take the needle and used to kill the little ant? That was also my makhluk. So we don't ask for adal. We ask for fazl. Only the kindness of Allah. So here Allah Ta'ala, first time He said, enter him into Jannah. He said, my a'mal. Second time Allah Ta'ala said, أَدْخِلُوا عَبْدِ الْجَنَّةَ بِرَحْمَتِي, enter my servant into Jannah because of my rahmat. He said, my a'mal. Third time Allah Ta'ala said the same thing. Third time He said, oh Allah, my a'mal. Allah Ta'ala says, take hisab just for his eyes. One eye, 500 years ibadat was over. So Allah Ta'ala says, now take him to Jahannam. Now take him to Jahannam. As he is going to Jahannam, now he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala. Rabbi adkhilni al-jannata bi rahmatik. Wallah, enter me into Jannah because of your rahmat. He's brought before Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala asked him, Man khalaqaka wa lam taku shay'a, that who created you when you are not even in existence? He said, Anta ya Rabb. Man qawwaka li'ibadati khamsi mi'atin, who gave you the strength to make the ibadat of 500 years? Anta ya Rabb. Who gave you a place to stay in the midst of the ocean? Who created that water? Fresh water, who provided fresh water for you? Who gave you pomegranate that is a seasonal fruit that grows once a year, you had it throughout the year? Anta ya Rabb, oh Allah, it is you. Who accepted your dua and gave you death in sajda and kept your body intact? Anta ya Rabb, it is you, Allah. Allah Ta'ala will say, فَذَلِكَ بِرَحْمَتِي, this is all because of my rahmat. وَبِرَحْمَتِكَ أُدْخِلُكَ الْجَنَّةِ, and it is because of my rahmat I will enter you into Jannah. Allah Ta'ala will tell the malaika, أَدْخِلُوا عَبْدِ الْجَنَّةَ بِرَحْمَتِي, enter my servant into Jannah because of my rahmat. فَنِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ كُنْتَ يَا عَبْدِ, يَا عَبْدِي, oh my servant, what an excellent servant you are. Jibreel alayhi salam tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّمَا الْأَشْكِيَاءُ بِرَحْمَتِ اللَّهِ يَا مُحَمَّدِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, that everything that we enjoy, this is the rahmat and this is the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ulama have mentioned that one way of making shukr of these ni'mat, these bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is through salah. The salah that we perform, this is actually making shukr of the ni'mat and the bounties of Allah. The commentators of Quran have written in the sixth para, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned the various animals that are haram. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ etc. All these animals are haram. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a principle. الْيَوْمَ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Allah didn't give a list of all those animals that are halal. But Allah ta'ala says, those things that are pure, these things have been made halal for you. The general principle has been given here. But when this subject matter, after mentioning haram and halal, Allah ta'ala starts speaking about wudu. So what's the connection? Allah ta'ala is speaking about animals, halal, haram. And then all of a sudden the subject matter changes to wudu. So the ulama, the mufassirin have written, they say that that animal that is halal that you are eating and you are enjoying, that is also for your comfort. And for that we have to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way of making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by performing salah. And in order to perform salah, a person needs to know how to make wudu. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the verses of wudu immediately after this. Nikah, this is also a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person, he has desire, he has lust within him. To fulfill this lust, not only has Shariat permitted it, but Shariat has encouraged it. As long as it is done in the correct way. For this, Allah ta'ala created the institute of nikah. This is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person, he loves his name to remain. He must have children. His name must remain. He loves his little child. His affection is towards his child. He wants to make his children huffaz, ulama. How are you going to get the child? Through the institute of nikah. So this is the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mentioned the Quran, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. That most certainly we have sent many, many anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam before you, O Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we granted them also wives and we had granted them children. That all the anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam that Allah Ta'ala has sent, that these anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam made nikah. So this is a great ni'mat, this is a great bounty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In the verse of the Quran Sharif that I recited in the beginning, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentioned, Ya Allah Ta'ala addresses the awliya, the guardians. That وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ. That, O guardians, that those that are not married, get them married. And some commentators say that the umara, the leaders are instructed over here. That ayyim means a male or a female that is not married. That those males or females that are not married, make the nikah. Get them married. And your righteous slave boys and slave girls. One obstruction that comes about at the time of nikah, many a time the person thinks, how am I going to fulfill the needs of my wife, my children? Parents many a time say, no, give him time, let him get onto his feet. He hasn't even got a car, he hasn't even got a house. Let him get onto his feet, then we get him married. And we delay the nikah. Ya Allah Ta'ala says, إِن يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. That if they are poor, Allah Ta'ala will make them independent out of His fadl, out of His grace. Two meanings to this ulama have mentioned. One meaning, they say that when a person is single, he's not so worried now. But the moment he makes nikah, immediately he's worried, I got a wife, I need to support her also. When the child comes, now the worry becomes more. Now he starts working harder, Allah Ta'ala gives him more barakah. And Allah Ta'ala makes him independent. Or the other way the ulama say, that because he is worried all the time, I've got a wife to support, I've got children to support. So he is worried about other human beings. Allah Ta'ala's unseen assistance now comes, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala assists this person. The narration comes in Tirmidhi Sharif and Ibn Majah. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, Salasatun, there are three types of people. Haqqun ala Allahi awnuhum. It is the right of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to assist these three people. Who are these three people? Annaki hu yuridul afaf. That person that makes nikah, in order to protect his chastity, he doesn't want to get involved in haram, in guna. He makes nikah, Allah Ta'ala will assist that person. وَالْمُكَاتَبُ يُرِيدُ الْأَدَىٰ. And a slave, there's no slavery in this day and age, but in the previous time, a person would enter into a transaction with his master, where he will pay for his freedom. That slave that wants to pay for his freedom, he doesn't have the means, Allah Ta'ala will assist that person. وَالْغَازِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And that person that makes jihad in the path of Allah, Allah's assistance is that person. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to say, إِلْتَمِثُ الْغِنَىٰ فِي النِّكَاءِ. That seek wealth, seek independence by making nikah. A sahabi comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have a certain need. Nabi alayhi wa sallam told him, you make nikah, and that need of yours will be fulfilled. So this should not be an obstruction from making nikah, that I don't have wealth. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will open the way. If Allah ta'ala is feeding the entire creation, the birds Allah is feeding, the fish Allah is feeding, The animals and the insects Allah is feeding. The entire makhluk Allah is feeding. What is it difficult for Allah Ta'ala to feed one family of four or five people? So Allah Ta'ala says, Wallahu wasi'un alim. Allah Ta'ala is the possessor of abundance and Allah Ta'ala has full knowledge over everything. But we make it difficult because of the expenses that we incur at the time of nikah. One youngster, he reached the age of getting married. They asked his father, he said, when you got married, how much did it cost you? So the father said, that I don't know, I don't have the actual amount. But he said that the loan that I took when I got married to your mother, I'm still paying it up to now. But if a person, he gets married with the correct intention according to sunnah, Allah Ta'ala will put a lot of barakah. The riwayat comes in Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Sahal bin Sa'ad As-Sa'idi radiallahu ta'ala. He says that Sahaba was sitting with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one majlis. One woman came up, one Sahabiyah, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, let's accept me in your nikah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that I have no need at this time. I have no need at this time. So one poor Sahabi, after a little while, he stands up. He says, Ya Rasulullah, get me married to her. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, that what do you have for mahar? He was so poor, he had nothing except one lungi here. So Nabi alayhi salam said that if you give that, what are you going to have to cover your satar? Go and look for something inferior, even if it is a ring made of iron, meaning something inferior of value. Go and bring that, we will give that as mahar. He expressed his inability, he can't find something of that, even to that amount also. Nabi alayhi salam asked him, how much of Quran Sharif do you know? He said, so much of Quran he has memorized. Nabi alayhi salam said, in view of these verses of the Quran, I am getting you married to this guy. Many times people say, not very long ago, one question came to Darul Ifta, where this young boy wants to become an alim of deen. What he is asking? He says that I want to become an alim. My family are asking me that how am I going to support my family if I become an alim of deen? Because the Maulana's salary is very, very meager, small amount. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will provide. As Maulana Abrar al-Haqtaf, Hardoi rahmatullahi alayhi say, we learned this from Hazrat, we heard it from our Hazrat, Damat Barakatuhum. That as I said, that these people say that the ulama, they earn peanuts. But in the same breath, they say now the ulama are living it up. So how are they living it up? Because in that little that Allah Ta'ala has given them, there's so much of barakah, they're fulfilling the needs of their family also. As they're going for umrah also, all their needs have been fulfilled. Hazrat also mentioned on one occasion, he said that Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haqtab rahmatullahi alayhi, that whenever his father used to ask for water, from his siblings, he was the one that would go and bring water for his father first. At that time, his father said, I wish I made all my children ulama. So nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I'll terminate on this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he would encourage Sahaba to get married. That if any Sahabi lost his wife, or any Sahabi was divorced, Nabi alayhi salam encouraged him to get married immediately. As Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, that if I knew that I have only one day left to live, one day left, then also I won't stay without nikah, I will make nikah also. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was ill. And in the very same illness, Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala had passed away. Every now and then, he would tell the Sahaba that were around him, get me married, make my nikah. Because I heard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioning that let it not be such. You should not meet me in this condition that your nikah has not been made. So this also, nikah is a great ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. The spouses that we have is a great ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. One person, his wife passed away now in the COVID. And he's telling me, he says that, Alhamdulillah, I've got a very big family. I've got a lot of children, I have grandchildren. My house is always full. But he says that when I come at night to sleep, he says the entire night I cannot sleep right up till the Fajr Azan. He says that wife that I have lost, I can never replace her. One person, he lost his wife, he never had any children. Every time that he meets you, he says, it's difficult. It's very, very difficult. Many a time we have these spouses, we have our partners, we don't make qadr, we do not make shukr for them. When they are gone, then we realize what is the value. Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq, and all of us the tawfiq of making amal wa akhir da'wana.